Father, we ask for your help as we read the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. The 24th chapter of Luke is the account of the resurrection and that special account where Jesus appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And it tells us that their hearts burned within them when he opened to them the scriptures. He began in Moses and all the prophets and taught them about himself. Verse 45, then he opened their minds. This is back in the upper room with the 11. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Written by Luke, and he sort of repeats it in the first chapter of the book of Acts as he continues the story. He left off in Luke 24. Verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And let's look at one other reference in Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. In all three of these counts of Jesus' orders, the last thing he said before he ascended into heaven, he gives a commandment, a mandate, an imperative, that the gospel, repentance, and forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations. And here he says it, make disciples of all nations. And the other one, he said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. I was talking last night with Herman Bueller. And I said, well, Herman, there's a real difference. I said, when you went to Micronesia, you really went to the uttermost part of the earth. But you at least got credit for going to the uttermost part of the earth. I said, if it helps your ego, you're a hero going out to Micronesia. But I said, I came to Moscow, Idaho, and I thought that was the uttermost part of the earth. And I didn't get any credit at all. Well, but we're not looking at credit. We're looking at orders. We see, let's look at the account in the book of Acts, Acts 1:8. I'll probably make reference to these three commissions. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In the next few chapters, we see what happened in Jerusalem. 3,000 believers, then 5,000 believers, and then more believers, and then more believers, and then many priests were obedient to the faith. And it keeps adding. It says, added to the church daily those that were being saved. And we see that right in Jerusalem, the church multiplied, became very big. Well, that was the orders. It said, beginning in Jerusalem. And that's what happened. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. But it didn't look like they were going to get to Judea. And then Stephen was put to death. And great persecution rose against the church. And then they all went to Judea. It says, all except the apostles were scattered abroad. You look in Acts 8, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The next two places they were ordered to go. I don't know how many believers there were in Jerusalem, but I think a minimum of 10,000. Because there were 5,000 that we know of in Acts 4. And they kept multiplying after that. Well, a minimal multiplication of 2 makes it 10,000. And then it says the number of men were 5,000. So it doesn't include the others. So I would say an absolute minimum of believers in Jerusalem at this time was 10,000. And it says all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And those were the next two places they were ordered to go. But they were the next two adjacent places. They were contiguous to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in Judea, or actually it was in Benjamin, but it was right on the edge of Judea, considered Judea. They were the next contiguous places. Judea in the county, and Samaria, the next county. And as you go through the book of Acts, you find out they keep moving. Philip ends up in Samaria, and then he ends up on the road down to Gaza. And then we find out that Saul is going to Damascus because there are some believers in Damascus. That's up in Syria. That's the next contiguous country. You see that verse 31 of chapter 9, then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. That was also the next adjacent place. Enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. We find Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, Damascus, Gaza, Caesarea. And in chapter 10, we find out Peter is going down to the coast to Joppa and other places. It really gets covered solidly. They occupy the land solidly out from Jerusalem. They didn't go from Jerusalem to the uttermost. They went the way they were supposed to, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and route to the uttermost. Then we find something else happening. By this time, they're believers from all over, and a group of them from different parts of the world end up in Antioch. And in the 11th chapter, verse 19, now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Phoenicia was the next thing to Galilee. Cyprus was the island off the coast. Antioch was the next major city north. Telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, and my guess, the evidence was both the quantity of believers and the quality of the believers. He saw the fruit of the Spirit in quantity. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. A great number more people were brought to the Lord. It didn't say that he's a great orator. He said that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And says he just encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. That was the message that caused many more people to become Christians. I'm sure he preached the gospel too, but it doesn't describe Barnabas in terms of a master speaker. In fact, it sort of sounds like he wasn't when he was traveling with Paul because they thought Paul was it because he was a chief speaker. But Barnabas had the quality, and the quality brought people to Christ. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Well, then Antioch now becomes a home church for the Apostle Paul. And they start reaching out. They teach for a whole year in Antioch, and things spread out from there to Cilicia. They make their first journey, missionary journey, again to the countries that are adjacent, Cyprus, Antioch and Pisidia, all that in Asia Minor that's close to them. They don't even hit far places until their second missionary journey. Then there seems to be a slight change, just a slight change. They jump over Mysia, Bithynia, and Asia at that time, and they go to Philippi in Europe, and they go to Thessalonica, and then it says that everybody in Macedonia, as you read 1 Thessalonians, heard the word of the Lord Jesus because of the believers in Thessalonica. Then he goes to Corinth, and everybody in Achaia hears the word because of his 2 years of teaching in Achaia. Then he ends back up in Ephesus, back in the place where he was supposed to, and teaches there in a Bible school for 2 years. And all they that lived in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. It looks like this. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, everything out from Jerusalem. Then they jump to Antioch, and everything out from Antioch. Then they jump to Antioch of Pisidia, and everything out from Antioch of Pisidia. And then they go to Macedonia, and everything out from Philippi and Thessalonica, contiguous from those big cities. And then to Corinth, and everything out from there. And then to Ephesus, and all they that live in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost, then Antioch, Cilicia. And as he hits key places, and everything out from there. But these places are adjacent, in effect. In other words, he hasn't gotten to Rome yet. Somebody else did. As they begin to cross Europe, on to Spain, on to England, and then we come across a real tragedy. For hundreds of years, people quit going. There are always some going, but it stopped with the ocean. They didn't get across the ocean. To the Jesuits in the 1500s, got to India and Japan. But there's something else that happened with this stopping going. The church there, where it quit going, became dead. With the Reformation, there was some life again. But it didn't begin to get missionary-minded. They were still just trying to bring the church back to life until William Carey in the latter part of the 18th century went to India. And things began to move again, all of the last century. But another tragedy, partly left over from the tragedy from during those years when they didn't go. But when they quit going, those initial places that they took solidly, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Asia Minor, are now solidly Muslim, and they are now the uttermost part of the earth. North Africa, great church in North Africa. Not only the foundings of Christianity and all that first land that we've just read these wonderful truths about, solidly Muslim, from Morocco, Mauritania, all the way to Turkey, all the way to Indonesia, has become the uttermost. The church went on to Europe and left where they'd come from, dead. Then the church went on to North America and left Europe dead. England, 4% of the people go to church, probably worse than Sweden. Germany dead, France dead. Because they're Western culture countries, we don't think they're missionary countries. Africa, Korea is far more Christian than Europe, and certainly far more Christian than the Middle East, North Africa. As the church went northwest and then west, it just kept leaving. They didn't lead their own children to the Lord. It seems to me they sent their godly men overseas and let the church die at home. The next dead country that will be left dead by us sending missionaries overseas is the United States. The Africa Inland Mission is now bringing missionaries from the inland Africa to New York City. This is not just one of the sending countries, one of the uttermost countries. In fact, the whole world has become that. In order to get back, I say get back to this wonderful thing, but we've departed from it so far. When we go, we have to go solidly Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, en route to the uttermost. Now, some of us may be called to jump overseas, but if all of the live ones go overseas and leave all the dead ones here at home, then we're going to have somebody giving a talk like I'm talking over in Burma, sending people to the United States. Most of us here will not be called overseas. We've got to stay a sending country, but not a sending and a leaving country where we die at home. Every last person is a missionary. Remember, back in that 8th chapter of Acts, it says all those except the apostles went to Judea and Samaria. The apostles were the ones that stayed at home. Now, they were the ones that told to go, really. The sent ones stayed at home, and the ones that weren't sent left. 10,000, 20,000 believers hit the county. What, as full-time missionaries? No. As farmers and fishermen and artisans and whatever they were doing. They were the primary missionaries. When we go to some other country, we don't expect everybody we witness to become full-time missionaries. We expect them to be life-living Christians on the job. That's what's going to do the job. Most of us will end up as school teachers or engineers or nurses or something like that. And every one of us will have access to people. That's where the living church has to be. It's not a professional thing only. When you go, I hope we don't get sent overseas by persecution, but when you go with a message. And you go to the next county with a message. If you end up at the uttermost, fine. But you go, as you go, you proclaim the gospel. That's what it really says in Matthew 28. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore go. Well, the therefore has to do with the all authority given unto me. But it's really as you go, preach the gospel. One of the dear friends of mine who's been a missionary to many parts of the world first went to Sumatra before the war. He's a young man going to Aboriginal people. And an older Christian came to him and said, David, he said, after you go the first 1,000 miles, how are you going to go the last 3 feet between you and the headhunter? It's between you and the headhunter that makes you the missionary, not the 1,000 miles. Okay, we've got the same 3 feet here. And it's that 3 feet that makes you the missionary, between you and every other person on this earth, any other person. David said he prayed much about that over the next few years and came to the conclusion they had to learn the language. That's one of the ways you go, close the gap on the 3 feet. You had to learn the culture. That's how you close the gap on the 3 feet. Had to pray for the people, but you had to love the people. And loving the people is more important than the language or the culture. We already have the language and the culture here. Why aren't we bridging the 3 feet? We don't love the people. And that's what makes a difference. I think I mentioned to you that, again, about Jim Bloxam. I was speaking at the Audiovisual Center in Japan, and this one missionary was interpreting for me, and afterwards we went on a train together, and I asked him if he knew Jim Bloxam. Oh, he said, yeah, I know Jim. He said, he's a great missionary. He said, he's a much better missionary than I am. I said, well, tell me more. Well, he said, his Japanese is awful. His language is awful. He said, I cringe every time he speaks. I said, well, why is he such a great missionary? He said, I love the language. He loves the people. He said, I'm good at the language. He loves the people. It's that love for people. You got that 3 feet here. You already know the language. You already know the culture. Going overseas is not going to make you loving. You're just going to throw in two other difficult things, language and the culture. If you love the people, you can go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost. He said, all authority is given unto me, therefore go. He said, stay in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He said, lo, I am with you always. Well, those great commands, great provision, and great power, and great promises. Few things that he's provided, but they're great ones. Authority, power, promise. And he's given us the love to share with other people. The purpose of the missions conference was to think in terms of the uttermost. And we want you to think that way. Even if you don't go, we want you to pray that way and give that way. But we want you to be that way, even if you never go anyplace. They had 10,000 believers, minimal, in Jerusalem. I don't think we've got 10,000 Pullman, but there are 10,000 people here. Many people aching, longing to know the Lord, wanting very much in the kingdom. The Great Commission, I believe, is given to all of us. As you go, you preach the gospel. You might end up at some place that seems like the uttermost. And we trust that some of you will, some of you have already. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you very much for the authority you've retained for yourself, the power you've given to us, commandment you've given us, the promise you've given to us. Father, help us respond to the authority, the command, the promise, the power. We want to be your servants, faithful servants, in Jesus Christ. Amen.